We're learning Perkei Avos, Ethics of Our Fathers. We're in the first parak, chapter 1, Mishnah Chet. The Mishnah tells us, Yehuda ben Taboy v'Shimon ben Shatach kibul mehem. As we mentioned in previous shiurim, these Mishnayos have zugot, pairs of individuals, and generally speaking, the first person mentioned in the Mishnah is the Nasi, is the president, the leader of Klal Yisrael that particular time. And the second person would be the Avestin. Because Yehuda ben Taboy is mentioned first, the simple understanding, in fact, is that he was the Nasi. Now, they both were kibul mehem, they accepted the tradition from them, namely the previous Zug, Yoshua ben Parachia and Nitai Har Bailey. So, our Mishnah Ches tells us the words of Yehuda ben Taboy. Yehuda ben Taboy Yomer Al Tas Atzmacha Ke'archi Hadayanim. He tells us that a person should not make himself like a lawyer, which, being that almost every Jewish family in the world has a lawyer as a direct relative, perhaps the words of Yehuda ben Taboy wouldn't be the greatest Mishnah to quote after passing an LSAT or finishing law school. Obviously, we have to understand, what does it mean, Al tas atzmacha karche hadayanim, not to make yourself as a lawyer. Mishnah then continues and says, Kishiyu bali hadin omdim lechanecha, when the litigants are standing before you, you beinecha kirshoyim, you should look at them as though they're wicked. Consider them as they're guilty. However, kishiniftarim lefanecha, after they depart from you, after they leave their courtroom, you beinecha kazakoyin, you should look at them as though they are righteous, as though they're innocent. Why? Kishikibul emasadin, provided, of course, they've accepted the judgment. So Yehuda ben Taboy, as we're going to see also, his colleague Shimon ben Shatach, focused their energy on the court system. Now, who exactly was this Yehuda ben Taboy? Yehuda ben Taboy was a tremendous tzaddik. He was also an incredible honor. He was very humble in that Yehuda ben Taboy was offered this position of leadership. However, he didn't accept it initially. Instead, he ran away to Alexandria and to Egypt, to Mitzrayim. He didn't want to accept the position of leadership. And he was. However, he was later coerced to come back, and eventually he was accepted. He accepted this position of being a leader for Klal Yisrael. Now, this is in the generation of Yanai HaMelech, who his wife was the sister of Shimon ben Shatach. Yehuda ben Taboy lived in a very difficult time in Jewish history, that Yanai HaMelech decided to wipe out all the Chachamim, all the Tzaddikim, of course, except for Shimon ben Shatach, because he was related to his wife, to the queen. So certainly Yehuda ben Taboy, wanting to save his life, probably wouldn't have wanted to accept this position. Therefore, many people decided to run away so that their lives would be spared. Now, what is this Mishnah focused on? It's focused on the importance of being a judge, to being a good judge, weighing out and understanding the situations properly. Not to jump to conclusions. Not to think that you know all the answers. Why is Yehuda ben Taboy, the individual who focuses his energy, his legacy on this Mishnah, of the proper way of being a judge? On this we turn to a Gemara in Masechet Makot. The Gemara in Makos on Daf Hei Amud Beis discusses a din, which is called Edom Zomim, plotting witnesses. In short, the law of Edom Zomim is as follows. A person sees or claims that he saw Frank in Los Angeles murdering someone. And he decides, together with his friend, to be witnesses and brings him to court. And they testify to this fact that they saw Frank murder someone in Los Angeles on such and such a date. Now, based on the testimony of two witnesses, that man, Frank, will be found guilty and he will be sentenced to death for murder. However, in a situation where a second group of witnesses come and find the first to be plotting witnesses, or Adam Zimmerman, and they say, Imanu Haisim Makam Ploni, you were with us somewhere else. How could you have been in L.A.? You were in New York. You were at the Yankee Stadium with us on that exact day, sitting in the same row. I was watching you the whole game. It's impossible that you witnessed the murder in Los Angeles. On this, the Torah says, that we will do to that first group of witnesses as they plotted to do to Frank. And therefore, this group of witnesses would be put to death. Now, the Mishnah in Masechet Makot discusses the various laws as to when this applies. According to the Chachamim, which of course is the MS, the true interpretation, this is only after the verdict has been reached, but before Frank was actually sentenced to death, before he actually was killed. However, if Frank was already killed, then we do not apply the laws of Adam Zun. There were a group of people known as the Tzadukim, not Tzadikim, quite the opposite. The Sadducees only believed in Torah Shebichtav, but not in Torah Shebaal Peh, not in the Oral Torah. And they did not understand a lot of the things that we do, and therefore they very vehemently decided to go against the words of the Divrei Chachamim, of our Chazal. And when it came to the Adam Zomim, they felt the only time this rule applies is not the time between the verdict and the actual mita, the sentence of Frank, but only if Frank was killed. That's when the laws of Adam Zomim applied. And this bothered the tzaddikim, the righteous people, such as Yehuda ben Taboi, tremendously. And they decided that they had to do something about it. The Gemara tells us that Yehud ben Taboi said that I will do my part to make sure that everyone knows the proper halacha. How will I teach people the proper law? Omer Rabbi Yehud ben Taboi, Erev Nechama, I will receive Nechama, consolement. Imlo harati et zaymeim lehoitzim alim shel sadukim. I'm going to sentence one plotting witness, so that the people will see that the tzadukim were wrong. Shehayu omrim, that they said, Ein ha'edem zaymin, nihargin ad shihareg hanidom. Only until Frank dies. Only after Frank is put to death does this law apply. I, Yehuda ben Taboi, will prove them wrong. And I will sentence one witness, who is found to be a plotting witness, to death, even though Frank is still alive. And on this, Shimon ben Shatach, who is also in our Mishnah, heard him say these words and he couldn't believe it. Armelo Shimon ben Shatach, Arben Achama, Imlo Shimchas Dam Naki, Yehud ben Taboi, you spilled innocent blood. Why? Shari Amru Chachamim, the sages tell us, Ein Ha'edim Zaymin Nahargan, Ad Shiazim Ushneim. It's only if both witnesses are found to be plotting witnesses. But if the second group was only able to show that the one of the two was lying, then we maybe will not accept their testimony, but we're not going to apply the laws of Yasisim Lokashu Zomam Laso Sachib. We're not going to put them and sentence the one to death. And therefore you, Yehuda ben Taboi, you made a huge mistake. You shouldn't have sentenced this one witness to death. You misjudged him. The Gemara tells us, Miyad kibbel of Yehuda ben Taboi. Rabbi Yehuda accepted upon himself, Shenu mayro hurrah, El lefneshim ben Shatach. He will never again in his life ever reach a verdict, ever reach a psak, unless Shimon ben Shattach was present, so that if he would make a mistake, that he would be able to be questioned. And the Gemara says that Yehuda ben Taboy was so devastated by the mistake that he made that every day you could go by and you would see Yehuda ben Taboy. Where would he be? He wouldn't be at Starbucks drinking coffee. He would be in a cemetery. And if you would go and find out which cemetery, it was the cemetery where that one witness was buried. And he would literally be prostrated next to the grave, crying, asking for mechila, for forgiveness, for his terrible mistake of spilling innocent blood. With this said, we can now understand the significance of why Yehuda ben Taboy chose these words, this particular words of our Mishnah, over everything else. Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboy is concerned that no one should make the same mistake as I did. Please, when you look at a court case, you have to look at them in a specific way. And you have to be very careful when you judge, so that you will not duplicate my mistake. So now we can understand the message of our Mishnah. But what does it mean exactly when the Mishnah says, "Al tas atzmecha karche dayanim"? Is there some type of issue of being a lawyer? What's the problem? There are many lawyers, many good Jewish lawyers who are Erech Yidden. What is this Mishnah teaching us? So Rashi says, Umashma Ke'archi Hadayonim implies, what does it mean, Ke'archi Hadayonim? Ke'adam Hazel, like this person. Sheinu Dayin, Umarech Umasadu Ubaldin Tainosav, Kedei Sheyizcha Badin. It's talking about the individual who looks at a case and he says, this is what you should say so that you should win the case. Amar Hasam, as it says in the Gemara in Ksuvos, Rabbi Yochanan, Asinu Atzminu Ke'archei Hadayanim. We made ourselves into Ke'archei Hadayanim. Perush, what does that mean? Shoti Galu Yochin as Dino. Mishum Shinemar Shemoa bin Achichem Ushvatem Sedek Shinehem. A person needs to judge in a righteous fashion. Ketzad, how is this? Yiboshnaim of Anachodin. If you have two people, two litigants standing before you, Vetanu Tanosim, and they give their various claims and their plea, Kishetavayar Hadin Lehechon Hunota, when you're trying to understand which way to lean, which person should win this case, Al Tigala Liyochid Azdino. Do not only say it to one. Do not lean over to one individual, but rather both parties must be present. Elo Shneim Biyachad. Both of them must be together. Psach Lehen Asadin. When you explain to them the verdict of the case. L'chayv Asachayv L'zakot Asazakai. Someone who is Ke'archei Hadayanim favors the other, shows that one person is special, is unique. But rather you have to look at both people with the same eyes, with the same attitude, and not to show favoritism in court. It's important that a judge must constantly remain impartial. He should not advise, as Rashi says, the litigant how to present his case. In other words, Yehuda ben Taboy is not saying not to be a lawyer, but he's saying that if you're a judge should not be a lawyer. Certainly a judge who was a lawyer before he accepted a position of being a federal judge or other positions, he's seen it all. And maybe he's seen a rookie lawyer, someone who just passed the bar, that doesn't know what he knows. And in your mind you're thinking, my goodness, if he would only present this type of argument, his client, perhaps who is really innocent, would be able to get off. And therefore I'm doing a mitzvah. Yes, I'm a judge, I'm supposed to be impartial. But look at this lawyer, this person that couldn't afford a good lawyer. He doesn't have a dream team like O.J. Simpson had. So this person really is innocent. and I know exactly what happened. But you're not allowed to put those words into that person's mouth. You cannot give them those thoughts as much as you'd like to, as much as you think you're doing the right thing. Altas atzmacha ke'archei dayanim. If you're a judge, don't be a lawyer. It's brought down that the word arch, arch adayanim, is the same as the English word, which is actually, the origin is from Greek, arch, like an archbishop, an arch enemy. What does it mean, arch? It means a chief, someone who's supreme, someone who's powerful. Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboi is saying, do not, even though you're a lawyer, and whatever you say, people must follow, you're going to be in a position of power. Don't let that power get to your head. Don't be archei hadayanim. Don't consider yourself to be an arch judge. Don't consider yourself to be above everyone else. Remember, you're human. Remember that you can make mistakes, just as I, Yehuda ben Taboi, did in court. Don't let the power get to your head. The Rambam, Maimonides, tells us, what does it mean not to be k'archei dayanim? Heim anashim, it's referring to the men, shalomdim hatainos vadayim, that they learn the proper claims. As you became b'nei adam l'dinayim, until they become such experts in the case, they know exactly what to say. They know how to respond to the other judges. However, when a person does this, are they telling the truth? Or is it sheker? It's a lie. Sheheim mechabrim she'elos t'tshuvos. They arrange, perhaps as in a, like a mock trial, in their own comfortable law firm, they call their client in, and they prepare him, they drill them with different questions and how to answer those questions. But the problem is when you teach them how to answer those questions, those aren't necessarily the true answers. But those are the answers which the lawyer wants because he's going to get a commission. He'll get a third, or whatever he'll make. Perhaps the lawyer's not interested in the MS. He's not afraid of being debarred to lose his license. However, you, as a yid, you have to remember the importance, the severity, the seriousness of not lying in a court. And remember, hey, if the judge asks you this, or the other lawyer, anikach, make sure to answer this way. Just keep answering the way I'm telling you. Don't worry about what really happened. This is what you should say. It's as though the judge is already there. It's as though the lawyer, you're the person who is defending, the person you're going against, is there asking you these questions. And he is acting like the lawyer. He is acting like the other lawyer, like the other dayan, like the other judge. And this is what it means as a lawyer. Be careful how you prep your client. Because we know that when it comes to halacha, one of the greatest smarim is the Shulchan Aruch, written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. Shulchan Aruch literally means a set table. Because if you want to find a halacha, it's very easy. It's in a very set order, a very set manner. That's why it's called Shulchan Aruch. It's set. It's all prepared. So all you have to do is just turn to the right page. That's what it means, the Rambam says, Ki Orche Hadayanim. Orech, do not set this man up. Do not prepare him for the case. So much so that he's so polished that the words that he's going to say will end up being lies just so that he should win this case. Do not be Orche Hadayanim. Don't be a person who prepares and sets everything for your client. Because what will end up happening, that person will be lying in court. The Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, what is this referring to? And I believe the words of the Rabbeinu Yonah are extremely scary. very serious, especially when we think about the corruption involved in so many cases, so many litigation, so many situations where people will lie through their teeth and say, who cares, what's the difference? And they block out what they should be doing. Listen to the words, the powerful words of Rabbeinu Yonah. Lo dibur b'kan. Certainly this Mishnah is not telling us. L'mi sh'olam itayno shel sheker. It's not a situation where you're being taught to lie by someone else, that this is what you should say, even though it's not true, but we'll keep it a secret. Certainly not. Why? Now listen to this. Ki kazeh rasha gomerhu. Such a person who would teach another person to lie, and you in turn to accept that person's words and lie in court, you're a Rasha Gomer. You're rotten to the core. You're as bad as they can possibly come. That's what the Rabbeinu Yonah defines an individual who lies in court, is a Rasha Gomer. V'hutzrach lomar shein lo adam lasos kein. A Mishnah would not need to teach us this. Certainly not Perkei Avos. Perkei Avos, in which its whole theme is to teach us ethics, morals, to go lifnei mishuras hadin, to go above and beyond our call of duty. This Mishnah is not telling us, don't lie. Certainly, someone who lies is a Rasha Gomer. Ki avera gadolahi. It's a tremendous sin. And therefore the Rabbeinu Yonah says, even if you're telling him the truth, however, the way that you're organizing it is not the proper way the court system should be. And therefore he advises not to be, to be a lawyer in which preps your client to the extent that he will not be able to say the whole truth. The difficulty with the words of this Mishnah, if we look at this and we ask ourselves, I'm not a judge. I'm not a lawyer. I'll never be a lawyer. Why do I need to know this? What's the significance of this Mishnah? I'm not going to be a judge. I'm not going to be a lawyer. I have a different profession. What is the purpose of this Mishnah? What could I learn out from it? Rashi tells us one way to answer that question. What does it mean not to make yourself like a judge, like a lawyer as it's translated? If someone comes up to you, someone says, hey, I have a question. I need your advice. I need your help. I need your counsel. If this person says, what do you think I should say? What's a good out? What's a good thing to say? I'm going to be going to court and I'm going to be in big trouble. What should I say? What should I do? Say nothing. Don't be his accomplice. Don't egg him on. Don't allow this to continue. Don't give advice. Does it make a difference if it's your mother, your relative? Don't give such advice. Don't teach someone to lie so that they'll win a case. Even if you're not a lawyer, don't give advice to anyone if you know it's wrong. The Chidah says a very important explanation. He says that when it's talking this Mishnah about looking at the litigants, it's not referring to you as a judge looking at those litigants, but rather it's looking and judging yourself, looking at your own actions. The Chidah says, do not be ka'archei adayanim who rationalize, who say, I know that you're guilty, but the gloves don't fit, so therefore I don't care, I'm going to try to get you off this case. And therefore rationalizing behaviors which are wrong. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us that once a person has done an Aveira, did something wrong, the second time, that's Lukaheter. It's as though it's correct. That although a person made a mistake once, making the same mistake again is just as wrong the second time as the first. However, in our minds, we're archei hadayanim. We're lawyers. We rationalize our behaviors to the extent that we say, I didn't do anything wrong. Everything is fine. On this, the Mishnah says, according to the Chidah, we must not be this way. Or if a person thinks this way, you'll never improve. Rather, one needs to acknowledge a person is guilty. You have to acknowledge that you've made a mistake. And then only afterwards, you'll have the opportunity, possibly, to change. It's brought down by the Kutznetzer Magid. He says a very important message. And this is a message that I would often say as being a professor at some of the universities in finance and marketing. On the first day when I would hand out my syllabus, I would tell all of my students, I would say, listen, I know you're here for a grade, you want a 4.0. To me, that's not the most important thing. I want you, when you finish this semester and you walk out that door, I want you to have more knowledge in your mind. I want you to have more life skills based on this class more than you do now when you walked in this door. Says the Kutznetzer Magid, he says, this is what the Mishnah says, that when he walks in, when you are a judge, you are a powerful person. You are a person, which everyone is, someone that can influence others. When you first have an encounter, a relationship with someone, it's possible that you they may have flaws. They might even be considered wicked, have made tremendous mistakes. However, after they have a relationship with you, after having spent time with you, understanding the proper methods, the proper ways of being a Jew, the proper methods of having ethics and morals and values, you benechakazakoyin. I hope that those people will walk out just like my students in school with greater knowledge. They should walk out no longer as Rishoyim, but rather with your positive influences, with all the time that you had with them, all the things that you said to them, and being a role model that they can emulate, that they'll walk out kizakoyim, they'll walk out righteous, they'll walk out innocent. We explained before the words, the powerful words of the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai said on the previous Mishnah, Harchek Mishachin Ra. Literally, distance yourself from a bad neighbor, which seems to be very much against Torah philosophy. Torah philosophy, like Avraham Avinu, Sara Imenu, are people that were involved in Kiruv, were involved in outreach. If they saw someone that wasn't like them, they didn't say, I better distance myself from them. That's a Shachin Ra. That's a terrible neighbor. That's not someone I want to be associated with. That's not someone I want my children to play with. That's not what Avraham or Sara did. They used their skills with the ability to be able to teach them, to teach them Torah, to teach them the importance of monotheism, that there's one God. And therefore they became gerim, they converted, they became righteous converts. And therefore, because of their actions, they were able to transform people who were Rishayim into Kazakoyin. Says the Ben Ish Chai, that's what the words Harchek Meshachin Ra really mean. Not distance yourself from an evil person and only stick with your clique, with people who are righteous, and therefore people will not be able to grow. People will not be able to learn from your actions. We are supposed to be a light unto the nations. How is that possible? By having a relationship with those neighbors. And if you're able to do that, then your Shachin Ra, that neighbor who initially is bad, harchek, it'll be distanced from ra. Harchek mishachin ra. Distance your neighbor from the evil which he has. Educate, teach people the beauty of the Torah so that they will be able to start off, as our Mishnah says, kirishayim. However, afterwards, when they leave you, they'll be righteous. Because how could the Torah be teaching us? How is the proper method to stay in our own communities, to associate only with those who are religious or have the same values as we? How are we accomplishing and helping the world? How are we, in fact, giving our beautiful heritage? Because we had the opportunity to be born in certain families or to be going to certain yeshivot and schools and having affiliation with synagogues. Other people that are not as fortunate do not have that same educational base. Should they be thrown away? Says the Ben Ishchai, of course not. Harchik Mishachin Ra. Go out there. Educate. Teach those people. And although they may be in your eyes as Rishayim, if you are a good person, the litmus test is when they walk out of your door. Are they the same? Are they still Rishayim? Are they Kizakoyin? Our Mishnah tells us it's our job to make sure to affect and to help the entire world, to teach them the beauty of the Torah. The Rebbeinu Yonah tells us here, when it says that when they're in front of you, they should be righteous, you look at them as when they leave you, rather, you should look at them as though they're righteous because they accepted the din. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, Zosi Midas Chasidus. This, as all of Perkei Avos really is piousness. It's above the call of duty, above what one needs to do. Acher Shata Yodea Sha'echa Toin Sheker. Because you are a judge and you know one of the persons in your court lied. One said I owed $100. The other one says I don't owe $100. One of them is lying. So how could you look at both of them kizakoyin, that they're both innocent? One of them lied through their teeth. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, do not look at that person and say, you know what? Since once a liar, always a liar. Rather, Midas Chasidus tells us, you're not allowed to continue to suspect that person of being a liar. Shikvar kibul av esadin. Because once you told them the truth, once you told them the gemar din, the verdict, the yotzim abestin chayiv, the guy left your case, your court, the yesh lachshav, you should think, shikvar satshuva, this person changed. Vein daitel asus kin kol yomav. Who says he's going to do this his entire life? Perhaps he is only done tshuva now, and only a few days before when he lied, he was a rasha. But maybe now he's a tzaddik. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us that it's necessary for the Kedushin to be valid, that the husband says the words "Hariat mekudeshetli, behold, you're betrothed to me." Now, sometimes the Gemara says a person makes tanoim, he makes conditions on the marriage. He says, I'll marry you on condition that I'm a millionaire. So we have to look in his bank account. If in fact he has $1 million, then it's a good kedushin. If he is dead broke and lives in a cardboard box, Rachman Latsan, then it's not a good kedushin. The whole kedushin was only on the condition, I'll manas, that I have $1 million. Says the Gemara in Kedushin, incredible case. A person goes up to a girl, and he walks up to her, and he says, "Hare, I'm a kedushas li. I want to marry you. Almanas shanit sadik, on condition that I'm a righteous individual." Says the Gemara in Kedushin, Mem Testament Beis, that is at least a suffic kedushin. It's at least we have to suspect that it's a good marriage, even though the person that said it is a rasha gomor. If this person, who everyone knows is a thief, is a crook, he's a murderer, he walks up to a girl and says, marry me on condition that I'm a tzaddik, I'm a righteous individual, the Gemara says, we still have to be afraid, possibly, that condition is true. Why? So the Gemara says, perhaps he did tshuva. Perhaps he's changed between the last time you met him and when he made that declaration, when he said those words to this girl, it's an incredible statement the Gemara is teaching us in Rabbeinu Yonah. And unfortunately, in our communities, a person makes a mistake and they're branded by that mistake for their entire life. However, a community which would put someone in chayrim, excommunicate them, and say you did such and such a thing wrong, which legitimately could have been against the law, could have been against Torah values. That same group of people that says you're no longer part of our community, you're no longer able to be part of our shul, they stand on Yom Kippur clapping al chet, saying that I made a mistake, Hashem give me the opportunity to change, accept my tshuva, accept my repentance. Now I think that's a little bit hypocritical. How could we, which the whole concept of Jewish philosophy is based on tshuva, that Hashem gives us the opportunity to change, and yet when we look at other people, we say, oh, that person's a Russia, that person is bad. Once a crook, always a crook. Once a liar, always a liar. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah that our Mishnah is teaching us, Midas Chasidus, the proper way of behaving, the actual way a person should look at another, of course not being naive, but looking at that person and saying, just because you were a Russia yesterday, I'm willing to give you a second chance. I'm going to be willing to listen and let you perhaps become a tzaddik. I'm going to possibly assume that you might have done tshuva. I'm not going to say that since you were bad your whole life, you're continuing to be a Rasha. However, we have to remember that person could change. I remember when I was in my shul in Connecticut, New London, a relatively small synagogue, and there was a very prominent man who's tremendous Talmud Chacham, a tremendous sage, who came, a young man. And I remember a couple of the older people, I heard them whispering. They said, oh yeah, I remember that kid. I remember when he was 7 years old, he used to run up and down the shul, screaming and making noise and disturbing the davening. I thought to myself, okay, he was 7 years old. Look at him now. Don't look at the person based on what he was, but rather look at a person of what he is and what he could be. And that's what our Mishnah is saying. That when the person walks out from you, look at them kizakoyin. Look at them with a more positive outlook. Not to be negative. Not to assume the worst. But rather, to hope for the best. It's brought down that when the Mishnah says, Yukshu bali dinim omdim lefanecha, when they're standing before you, what's the significance of this? It teaches us, as we find in every court case, every LA law, every single time we watch a television show about law, the first thing that we hear when the law, when the judge walks in is, please rise. The Mishnah clearly says this, as the Gemara in Shavuos tells us that the dayan, the judge, will sit while the litigants should stand to show the proper respect. It's brought down in the Tosfos Yom Tov that when you first see these people, you look at them k'rishayim, as though that they're wicked. Avol shneim k'tzadikim lo. Interesting. Against the philosophy of the judicial system in the United States of innocent until proven guilty. Here it's first look at them as though they're rishayim, wicked. Says the Tosfos Yom Tov, don't look at them as they're innocent at first. Why not? Shem Kain, because if you look at both of them as they're innocent, v'yachlosh matanoseihem, you're not going to be able to really listen and find the truth to their claims. V'yadin kol echad l'kavzchus, because you're going to judge each of them favorably. V'yared l'amitos hadin, you're not going to come up with the truth. Avol, however, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, Kishneim be'enav kirishoyim, that when both of them are viewed as though they are wicked, yachbosh betaino betanoseim, shel kol echad be'echad, you're going to be listening carefully because you look at them both as rishoyim. This one's going to probably lie, that one's going to lie. So you're going to listen to every word. You're going to make sure that everything that they say had to be true and is verifiably true. B'shvil kach yard lamitos hadin. In doing this, you'll come up with the truth. It's brought down the story. There was a rabbi that had a couple of litigants that came to his house. And one of them said, you know, this guy owes me $1,000. So the rabbi said, yeah, you're right. And then the other person said, it's not true, rabbi, it's a lie. I don't owe any money. I do not owe him $1,000. And the rabbi looked at him and said, yeah, you're right. And they both left, and the Rebbetzin, the wife, who was in the other room, overheard this conversation and said, my husband, I don't want to disagree and say something against Torah, but it doesn't make sense. How is it possible? You can't find that both of them are right. So the rabbi looks at his wife and said, you know, you're right. The problem with being innocent until proven guilty, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, is you're going to look at everyone as being correct. Everyone is right. Rather, let them look at them as Rishoyim and be more critical. You're more critical in their words. Then you'll be able to come out with MS. You'll find out which one is the truth and which one is not. It's brought down by the morale. The morale says a very important concept, a very powerful word. How is it possible that they're both Rishoyim? In a situation where one person said one thing and the other person said something else, one of them is lying, but the other one is a tzaddik. The other one is righteous. The person who was always telling the truth, the one who came in and did nothing wrong, how could we advise to look at that person, Kirishayim, as though they're wicked? I can understand one of them being wicked, but why would you say that both of them are wicked? Says the morale a very powerful word. The morale says that any time you find two people, and certainly two Jews that come in a court case, they're fighting with one another, they have machlokas, they're unable to reach a conclusion, they're unable to reach some type of a compromise between themselves, that they have to drag it into a court and begin to go through this very grueling process of going to court, going to a Beis Din, says the morale, all cases are evil. It's necessary, rather, to be an Oyv Shalom V'Rade Shalom, not to be an individual who is constantly involved in arguing, in machlokas, in litigation. Now this, of course, the morale goes against my cup of coffee. Every day when I get my cup of coffee, and I always like my coffee to be extremely hot, I have to be very careful, only to take a little sip off of it. I know by heart what it says on my cup of coffee. It says, caution, this beverage is extremely hot. Caution, this beverage is extremely hot. Now I must tell you, I went to a coffee shop. I asked for a hot cup of coffee. I know what a cup of coffee is. I've had one before. This is not my first time. Why in a million years does my cup of coffee have to say that this beverage is extremely hot? And the answer is, we live in a litigious society. We live in a society where if that cup of coffee while I'm driving and I'm trying to drink, had the phone in one ear and drinking the coffee and driving with my knee on the highway, if a bump hits and I spill the coffee on my legs and it stains my pants and I have to bring it to the dry cleaner, it's time to sue. And maybe also at the same time, my neck is beginning to be a little sore. We live in a litigious society. Says the morale, the Mishnah is teaching us that when it comes to going to litigation, both people are Rishayim. Anytime you have people that keep being dragged into court, keep dragging people into law, being involved in machlokas and dispute, that's a Rasha. That's a wicked individual. That's a terrible individual. It once happened a few years back. I was with my family on my parents' boat in Connecticut. And as we docked, we were about to go back to my parents' home for a barbecue. And they noticed someone that was a, quote, boating friend. And they were nice enough, my parents being so nice, invited these people back to their home on their porch for a barbecue. And my parents, sparing no expense, broke out the steaks. Some good food. They were sitting on the porch. And the porch that I have, my parents have a porch which has a step, which is about 3 inches. And one of these people, these friends, was after they finished their meal, they're about to throw out their plate. They fell down this one step, 3 inches, which in broad daylight, they could have easily seen. Well, you probably know the rest of the story. This case is brought to court. They're suing my parents by saying that they were in a dangerous situation. The same people that were nice enough to invite them to their house, same people that gave them a delicious steak dinner, those are the people to turn around to sue them. Says the moral, that person did fall. That person was hurt. That person who had the coffee spilled on their pants did get that stain. However, says the moral, those are reshoyim. Those are people that pursue evil. Those are people that pursue machlokes. Those people are wicked. It's brought down in the Tosas Yom Tov. What's the significance that afterwards you should look at them kizakoyin as innocent? Says the Tosas Yom Tov, Dahava Mina, because you would think, Kivan de'ik lemechshad, since you would maybe suspect one of them, Ein ze b'chlal v'havidonis kol adam kavschos sricha, that it's necessary to always judge a person favorably, always look at a person with the proper set of eyes. Just as the Rabbeinu Yonah taught us, it's very important that a person needs to be very careful how they say things and how they look at another individual. Even though perhaps this person was wrong, however, still try your very best. Pidon l'kavskus, always judge a person favorably. It's brought down by Rav Avram Tversky in his Sefer. Why again are they both Rishayim? He says that they're both wrong. Why are they both wrong? Not as we explained before, the words of the moral, but they're both Rishayim because each person wants to win the case. And our minds, as I often say, are very, very strong and a very, very easy way to manipulate our ways of thinking so that we get what we really want. Says Rav Tversky, very often we justify our minds and distort reality so that we believe in our hearts what we're saying in court is true, even if it's not, because we need it to be true. This often happens in a camp or in gym. As a principal of a school, I see sometimes kids are playing baseball or kickball. Kid hits the ball to the third baseman. Third baseman throws that ball to the first baseman. The first baseman catches it almost exactly the same time that the boy that kicked the ball puts his foot onto first base. What happens? Half the people scream safe. Half the people scream out. Now, that's impossible. You're either safe or you're out. So, who's saying that he's safe and who's saying he's out? The kids that are up, The kid that wants to keep playing, the kid that wants to win by continuing their inning, they say, no, he's safe. He's safe on first. The kid far out in left field who can't see, is the thickest glasses, he says, no, I saw him, he's out. Why? It's because we see what we want to see. And we say what we want to say because we, in our minds, believe so that things will happen the way that we want them to. Says Lev Turisky, both of them could be lying. Both of them could be Rishayim because each of them wants it to be true. I'd like to conclude with the words of the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura says, Yibei Nechak Rishayim, look them both as though they're wrong. Shoyata Libchal Echaneh. Don't lean toward one of them. Loimer Ish Poni Choshevu. This is a person with deep pockets. This is a very prominent individual. Lo Yiton Tana Sheker. He'll end up, he's not going to lie. Shimata Oimer Kane, Einata Royal Choiva. And you'll never find that person to be guilty, even though in fact he may be. It's brought down in the story of a prabba, a rabbi, who actually was accepted his first position as a rabbi in a community. And as he had his bags all in boxes from a U-Haul, a man by the name of Bern Rothschild came to him, said, Rabbi, I know you just got here a few minutes ago. I see that you're tired. You just drove this huge truck. You have boxes all over the place. I have a case, and I need your psak. I need your answer. And by the way, I'm the president that writes your checks. And he proceeded to tell him the situation, the story, and the rabbi in his mind understood that he was wrong. That Baron Rothschild, in fact, should not be the one who would win this case. However, the rabbi thought for a moment. He said, listen, if this man, who's such a prominent individual, if I go against him, I may very well have to put all these boxes right back into that truck and go back where I came from. He might not allow me to stay. However, I'm a Rav, and sometimes I have to make a tough call. I have to stand for what I know is right, regardless of the consequences. The rabbi then spoke up and proceeded to tell Baron Rothschild that in fact he was wrong, that the case would not go in his favor. And immediately a smile grew on Rothschild's face. He said, you know, Rabbi, there really was never such a case. However, I wanted to give you a nisayon. I wanted to test to see if you're really a man of integrity. You're a person that doesn't do things just because a prominent individual tells you something, but rather you tell us the MS. That is what a true Rav, that's what a true rabbi is, that's what a true person is, a true member of Klal Yisrael, is someone that does not look at a person differently because of the clothes that they wear, but rather to view every person the same, regardless of who they are.